He is our rock and our salvation. He is our defense, and we shall not be greatly moved. No matter what we see, we won't be greatly moved. We are to hold fast to our confession of hope we have in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews it says, let us draw near with the true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So the Holy Spirit is the one that draws us. He draws people to himself. Satan, though, is the god of this world, and he's trying to pull people away. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy people's lives. Now, there's a difference, and I got this from, I don't know if anybody listens to Lance Walno. Once in a while, I listen to him, and I got this part from him. This is the difference between God's voice and Satan's voice. God's voice will steal you. Satan's voice rushes you. God's voice leads you. Satan's voice pushes you. God's voice reassures you. Satan's voice frightens you. God's voice enlightens you. Satan's voice confuses you. God's voice encourages you, and Satan's voice discourages you. God's voice comforts you, and Satan's voice worries you. God's voice calms you, and Satan's voice obsesses you. God's voice convicts you, and Satan's voice condemns you. So God is a God of love and of order. And if the voice you are hearing doesn't sound like those listed under God's voice, then they're not from him. You need to ignore that voice. Any type of worry, fear, anything that's not encouraging or filled with love, it's not of God. And we do not have to follow that voice. I know that sometimes our past can bring up behaviors or whatever, but we have to learn to get past that. We have to learn to follow Christ and the direction that he wants us to go and respond in a godly way differently. So many times I think of things that it's like, oh, okay, I catch myself and I have to remember, don't go down that road. Let's go the way of God. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes to let go of the flesh, but we can do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He's there to help us through that. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's some translations that say I strain or I pursue the goal. And the Greek definition to press is to move rapidly and decisively toward the goal. We don't have time to waste. We need to grow up as Christians. We need to stop, you know, reverting back and letting that old nature rule in our hearts. And we need to start pushing forward and growing up and doing the things that God has called us to do. We need to stop being chicken and scared and letting fear stop us from moving forward. So don't put your confidence in your efforts, though. It has to come from God. So put your confidence in the Lord to help you reach the goal. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Because circumcision is of the flesh, but what counts is whether you've been transformed into that new creation. So we need circumcision of the heart is what we need. Not of the flesh, but it's of our heart. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Human effort is self-motivated. When it comes to your spirit life, you have to rely on the Holy Spirit. because he gives us the ability to reach that goal that we're all in together to reach. None of us are, as far as the believers go, the Christians, we're in this together, and we need to treat each other as one in the spirit. You know, none of us are above the other. We're all the same as far as brothers and sisters in Christ. We may be at different levels, but we still need to be encouraging and uplifting to others. In John 6:63, it says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing, because it's in him that we live and move and have our being. And it's not by might nor by power, but by the spirit, says the Lord. So then, it does not depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Our efforts are in vain, useless, unless we have the Lord's blessing. Paul recognized he had not reached perfection, but he would keep working toward that day when he would finally be all that Christ saved him for and wanted him to be. We're all looking to that day when our salvation will be made complete. And that won't be until Christ returns. We're all working towards that goal. Now, Paul listed his old identity because he was trying to encourage other believers in Christ. And so he listed his old self, everything that he once was. And he said he was born as an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was raised according to the Jewish customs and learned the Hebrew language. He was full Hebrew, which means both his parents were Hebrews. He knew the law. He was a Pharisee. He was full of zeal, great energy. He had enthusiasm and pursuit of his cause. And he had an object, persecuting the church. He considered the law to be blameless and righteous. That was his definition, his perception of what he thought was right. Paul wasn't being prideful when he was actually, when he was telling of these things about himself. But he was letting people know that, let go of your past. Let it go and move forward. Continue to live pure, live blameless, not in people's eyes, but in God's, you know. But Paul gave up his old identity, the old man, his old self. Whatever gain he once had, he now counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. And that's how our lives should be. You know, we don't want to go backwards. We want to continue to go forward. He said, I count everything as a loss of the surpassing worth or of excellence to know Christ. Everything he did and lived for was now all rubbish. It no longer had any value to him. So I'm going to say it again. If there's things in your life that you're hanging on to of your past and you're letting them influence you in any way, you need to stop. You need to let it go. And I know sometimes it's hard because we can be embarrassed. We think, oh, what are they going to think of me? I'm a Christian. So what? The more you do it, the easier it gets. The bolder you get, the more confident you get. And then you begin to see that you're the one that's actually right and not that person. You know, we're right because of Christ. So he wanted people to understand what really matters so that they would live pure and blameless. We have to stay filled with the fruit of our salvation, those things that are produced in life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. It's straining to reach the goal of perfection, which is Christ-likeness. The goal is because Jesus made us right. He made us to be just like him. And we know that we'll never be perfect, but one day we will be. But right now, we're trying to reach that goal of perfection. Philippians 3, 12 and 13 says, I don't mean to say that I already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. So the more time that you're spending with Christ, the more we become like him. The fruit of your salvation will begin to grow. The fruit of your salvation includes all the character traits flowing from a right relationship with Christ. There's no other way for us to gain this fruit of righteousness other than through Christ. And Philippians 3:11 says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. So to be filled is to be full of. We're to be full of God, full of Jesus. That's the fullness of God, is Jesus. To be filled with the fruit of your salvation is to be filled with the fruit of righteousness, the righteous character produced in your life by Christ. We know fruit is grown, and fruit will not grow apart from the vine. We have to stay connected to the vine to draw up the nutrients we need for our fruit to grow. Jesus is the vine, but the word is your nutrients. That's where you get your nutrition that you need to grow in those areas of the fruit of your salvation. Nutrients are a substance that provides nourishment essential for growth and the maintenance of life. If you go without the word of God, you become lethargic. You become weary. You become depressed. You become easy prey for the enemy. And you don't want that. You have to stay strong. You have to stay in the word. Galatians 6:9 says that let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So spending time in the word of God, God puts the desire in us to obey him. The word actually says in Psalms, and there's another passage, I think it's in Corinthians, that says, he's caused us to hear and obey. So we are really without excuse, because God will cause us. It really comes down to obedience, whether we're going to be obedient to listen to the Holy Spirit when he calls us to spend time with him. So Paul said in Philippians 1, I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless until Christ returns. He wanted the church to understand right from wrong, good and bad, vital and trivia. For the church to live out godly morals and values, we have to represent those godly and moral values so they can influence those that we're around. Whatever has happened or will happen in your life, it shouldn't keep you or restrain you from moving forward. Because even Paul, even while he was in prison, he still allowed the joy of the Lord to fill his heart. He still allowed that to push him forward. And how can you not think, if you're in prison, how can you not think about where you're at? But he didn't let it dictate him. He didn't let it control his growth, his time with God, his fellowship with God. So he lived in eager expectation and hope whether he would live to be free, which means he didn't know if he would live to be free from prison or die during his time in prison. He was encouraged because he knew the gospel was still being spread in spite of his imprisonment. And that's what we need to stay focused on too, is we're here to spread the gospel. And your morals and your values are a big part of that, of spreading the gospel. You may not have to even say a word to someone, but they can just sense it off of you. I've heard many times people say of my mom, you know, about her. You know, they just sense that presence off of her, that, you know, kindness that she has. Or, I mean, I've heard other people say they look like they glowed, you know. And it's like, so people can see that from us. The spreading of the gospel was still at work. His current situation, it didn't dictate what he would do with it. He wasn't going to give up and quit or allow the pull of discouragement to still his joy. He turned a negative situation into a positive one. And we can do that too. Because what the enemy has meant for our harm, God will turn it around for our good. So that means we can stay joyful. When we're focused on the Lord, whatever the situation is, we can stay in joy. And joy is in your heart. It doesn't mean you're going to be jumping around and, you know, be happy about everything. But joy is still there. You haven't lost your peace. You haven't lost your faith in God. You know he's a good God. He's a faithful God. And his love endures forever for us. Amen. We have the privilege of trusting in Christ in the good times, but also we have the privilege of suffering for him too. There is always going to be a pull from the world, especially during difficult times in your life, but we can stay in peace. We know nothing is too difficult for God. So even in the midst of difficult situations, we can still share the good news of Christ. It's an opportunity to let people know the goodness and faithfulness of God, and people need to see that hope that we have. And the more we share, the bolder we become, the more confident we come. You're not to be quiet about what God has done in your life. You're actually supposed to shout it on the mountains, you know, what God has done. It's your testimony, and you need to share your testimony. And I'm talking to myself, too, because I don't always do this either. So God is teaching me at the same time he's teaching you guys. It's just that I get the word from him first. So Philippians 3:10-11 says, as a result, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that Christ raised him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that somehow I can experience the resurrection from the dead. And I love that. You know, there is a way that we can live a resurrected life, but we have to have Christ in our heart to do that, and we have to live out the fruit of our salvation and put that first in our life. And the only way we can do that is when we spend time with God and get in his word and let Jesus be Lord. He has to be Lord. He has to be your master. We're just the vessels, just the servants. We're made of the clay, the dust of the earth. But God is good, and he's given us life, resurrected life, that one day we can be with him for all eternity. So that's all I have to say. But Father, I just thank you for your